When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to episode 295 of the Sources A podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR Podcast Network, presented by Justice Dental. Tonight, a very, 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 very huge show breaking down Kentucky's blowout victory over number 8 Miami. We may or may not be inside Rupp Arena right now, soaking it in. What an unbelievable night. But before we get started, a quick message from our friends at Justice Dental. Sources say it's presented by the great team at Justice Dental. Visit one of their two Lexington locations by scheduling an appointment online at justicedental.com or by calling or texting 859-543-0700. Dr. Thompson, Dr. Justice, and their team look forward to seeing you soon. I am your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very happy to be joined here in person by Sean Smith of Go Big Blue Country. Sean, how the heck are you after this ridiculous night?
I'm fantastic. We don't get to do this often either, together, side by side, talking about this team, what they did tonight. I tweeted in the middle of the game that this looks like the best team in college basketball, and it certainly did. I know that they're still missing the front court. I know that they have a loss to Kansas, but what they did tonight, the way that they played, they're sharing the basketball, holding a team like Miami, who entered this game leading all college basketball in three-point percentage, to what, 26% roughly from the three-point line. Just an incredible performance and a quad one victory that should stand throughout the season.
95-73 in a game that, beyond a single 13-0 run by Miami in the first half, it wasn't close. Like, Kentucky thoroughly dominated from the opening tip through the final buzzer. And it was kind of bizarre because we obviously have to start with DJ Wagner. It was kind of a story. He goes down with an ankle injury, 4 minutes to go in the first half. That could have been a moment, Sean, where things unraveled a little bit. Like, he's kind of been the go-to bucket getter, the alpha, the I'm going to put the team on my back and take things over and kind of lead us across the finish line. He's been that guy. So the game was neck and neck up to that point leading up to that injury. I think Kentucky was down 2 at the moment of that injury. And rather than unravel with your kind of alpha and go-to guy out back in the locker room, obviously hurt in serious pain, instead of folding, they kind of rally behind him and around him and turn that into an unbelievable 26-point lead in the second half, end up winning by 22. That doesn't just happen. This is this is the eighth best team in college basketball. Ignore anything, what the final score says, how bad they looked, whatever. There's a big reason for that. And it's because Kentucky made them look that way. Jim Larrañaga kind of struggled to come up with words after the game. It was just like, yeah, that we couldn't guard them because they're really, really good. Called Reed Sheppard an NBA player. We know that. Look with your own two eyes. He is a one and done level talent. Maybe NIL brings him back for a second year, but we got to stop talking about him as a 4-year, multi-year guy. Talent-wise, he's a one-and-done. Rob Dillingham is a one-and-done. Those two kind of righted the ship and moved the momentum forward in the second half to turn this into an absolute beatdown against a top-10 team in the country. You know why, Sean? Because this is a top-10 team in the country. This is a top-5 team in the country. This might be a top-1 team in the country.
It very well could be a number-1 team in the country. And this was a 37-34 game for Miami with 3:11 to play in the first half. And it didn't take long. I think it's by the 17-minute mark of the second half, Kentucky had a 12-point lead. That's how quickly it flipped. Reed Sheppard made some plays. Miami had a gimme basket under their rim, and Reed Sheppard strips it, leads the points the other way. He blocks a shot that then leads to an Antonio Reeves layup on the other end. Like, Reed Sheppard, once again, making impacts in other areas. Shot the ball well again tonight. Assist, making plays. He has 22 steals on the season through 7 games. Rajon Rondo set the single season record here at Kentucky with 87 in the 2004-2005 season. Through 7 games that season, Rajon Rondo was at 17 steals. It's time that we actually have to be having a conversation about what Reed Sheppard is doing in that area of his game. But, man, what a game. Rob Dillingham, 9 assists, zero turnovers. He leads the SEC in assists. Did you ever think that you and I'd be sitting here talking about Rob Dillingham and his assist numbers? 40 assists on the year to 9 turnovers. Kentucky doesn't have a single player on its roster that has double-digit turnovers through 7 games. Think about that.
Rob Dillingham is hilarious. Like, we asked him after the last game. I think before he took his first shot, he had 5 rebounds and 5 assists in that game against Marshall. And I think Ben Roberts asked, he said, did you ever in your basketball journey think that you could do something like that? Like, is that even in your basketball DNA? And he was like, guys, I'm going to be totally honest. You don't ever hear about Rob not taking shots. And he's just adapted so unbelievably well where he's still taking shots. He kind of carried the load offensively with some ridiculous offensive takes in the second half, 10 points in the second half, hit a couple dagger threes, finished around the basket with whatever this flip-de-doo, loop-de-doo, like what is that called? I don't really know, but it looks good because Rob Dillingham does it. It's kind of a jelly scoop and score, whatever it is. It looks good doing it because Rob Dillingham looks good doing basically anything that he does. And he does not turn the ball over. It is insanity how he is as good of a playmaker as he is and impacts the game and impacts winning the way he does without the erratic nonsense that we were expecting. It's like he has cut out that part of his game almost completely and has only kept the good stuff. That doesn't just happen. It's hard to put that into words how valuable that is, where you're getting the best version of Rob Dillingham every single night without the risk part. Like, there is a risk reward that comes with playing Rob Dillingham and having him on your roster, and it's only been a reward, no risk whatsoever. And that has been just so valuable. It allows Antonio Reeves to do his thing and kind of fill his scoring load however he needs to. Trey Mitchell doing his kind of in between, career high assists for him as well. Like, everything kind of revolves around each other with this team, and we got to see it in the national spotlight. Social media was buzzing after that game, Sean, where people were starting to go, like, this team doesn't have Aaron Bradshaw yet. This team doesn't have Zvonimir Avisic. It doesn't have Ugonna Onyenso. And they just beat the everlasting hell out of the number 8 team in college basketball. A very good, do not look at this and minimize what Miami can do. That's a very, very good basketball team that had 5 players averaging in double figures, shooting as efficiently as any team in college basketball. And Kentucky beat the everlasting hell out of them. Give credit to Kentucky for how good they are. Don't just do this to minimize Miami, even though that's kind of the reactionary thing that a lot of national folks
do. Well, Jim Larranaga brought it up tonight too. He mentioned the phrase, we couldn't outscore them, which is something we've talked about with this team early in the season. Is I keep going back to, sure, their defensive numbers aren't where we want them to be. At one point tonight, I think they got to 55. I think it may be back down to 57th in adjusted defense efficiency. That number is going to fluctuate early in the season because we only have a sample size of about 6 to 7 games for most of these teams. But when you look at that, I've been saying that right now, you got to outscore Kentucky to beat them. Kansas did a few weeks ago. Kentucky came up short in that game. Kentucky's scoring the ball at a more impressive clip now than they were 2 weeks ago. I mean, we're off 118 points a few days ago.
They're averaging 94 on the year, 94.4 per game.
And you and I talked about the over-under and what was set at. It went over late, but Kentucky carried that score tonight.
Wasn't our fault. We did our part.
Yeah, we thought that Miami would chip in a little bit more in that, which they went under their total. I think their total was set at 78.5, but – when you look at what Kentucky's doing, the defensive numbers will improve. They will get better as the season progresses. They get some bigs back. They'll get some size. Those numbers will fluctuate and move as well. But just overall, the three-point line, you held a team to 5 made threes that was leading the country in three-point percentage entering the game, and they shot, I think, well below their average. I believe they were at 40.
They were basically a coin flip 3-point shooting team, and you held them to 26. Yeah. You turn a coin flip shooting team into a quarter. I don't know the coin terminology, but a quarter of that. 25% essentially tonight compared to 50% essentially.
And you had guys like Uga Poplar that started the game. I know he had a lot of baskets early and had a good night, but he was 19 of 32 from 3 entering this game. he didn't hit a three tonight. He only attempted two. Like, Kentucky's game plan was obviously to, you know, to not let Miami get hot from three. And they did, and they didn't. So when you then you look at the other side, sure, Kentucky's three-point numbers overall, the attempts were down. They only attempted 21 threes tonight, which is still well above what John Calipari averaged at Kentucky. Like, they're still above that number. But they got to the what they averaged percentage-wise, 42.9%. They're hovering right around that mark right now on the season. So they got there, even with fewer attempts. We talked about a couple of games ago, I believe it was the St. Joe's game, that they didn't shoot as many, but they hit their number. So tonight they didn't hit the number they averaged, but they hit the percentage. So the efficiency is still there in that area, even though they didn't take 27, 28, 33s tonight. But just what a game plan overall from John Calipari. The energy in this building tonight was unreal. I've covered games here for 7 years, and this is by far a top four, top five environment that I've covered in. And the juice was here. This team is fun. This team, we were talking about it pregame tonight, you and I downstairs, about there's a different feeling about what this team's doing right now. The excitement is about, man, this team can actually go and do something in that tournament 3 or 4 months from now. I'm not sure anyone really believed that a year ago. I don't even know if people really believed it the year before that, even though Kentucky had a good regular season. This team just has a lot to it. And you mentioned Rob earlier and what he did. There was one moment tonight before DJ got hurt. DJ was at the scores table because Cal was upset with Rob for something, and Rob hit a shot. It was his first made basket of the game, and Cal goes to DJ and tells him to come back. And it's like even Cal knows, okay, this guy can get hot just by hitting one shot or making one play. And then he made the play you're talking about, and then he looks at his hand as he's going.
He does it after every made basket. Like, God gave me this. Imagine being Rob Dillingham and having a God-given creation like a Rob Dillingham right hand. Like, how unfair is that? It's unbelievable.
We not even talked about Trey Mitchell, who set a career high in assists tonight.
Seven assists.
He'd got to the number five probably, I'd say, 10 to 15 times in his career. And I know he'd got there at least once this season, but he gets to seven. He did have three turnovers, but he only had three turnovers the entire season entering tonight, but he still gets seven assists. Rob was with nine. The assist number for Kentucky, that it goes hand in hand with making shots, but even Jim Larranaga brought up the assist total for Kentucky and how well they shared the basketball. Like, this is something now. When they played Kansas a couple of weeks ago, everyone's opinion about Kentucky changed, but I still think people didn't really know where to put them. This had more tonight to do with Kentucky than it did Miami. Miami's a good basketball team. That's a program coming off a Final Four. This had everything to do with just how good Kentucky is, and the backcourt depth showed itself again tonight. DJ goes out. No worries. They pick up the slack. Hopefully DJ's okay, but this backcourt, what did Antonio Reeves? Another quiet, just what, 18
on 7 of 12, only hit one three.
Very efficient numbers from him, and he's chipping in on the boards. Like, that's something
he was. I felt that all of the guards were unbelievably active. They lost the rebounding battle, and I thought it was hilarious. Cal, as soon as he gets to the podium, he goes, "Hold on, guys, I haven't even gotten to see a box score yet. Let me look at it." He looks at it, goes, "Yeah, we got out rebounded again. Well, that's pretty good." Like, even him. Like, he had no words. He couldn't even poke holes in that team's performance, because it was there are a lot of times that you watch this team and you go, okay, what happens when the shots aren't falling? What happens when the random basketball gets a little too chaotic and the shots aren't falling and it kind of leads to panic and it leads to whatever? You kind of got to see a little bit of that in the first half. They finished the first half just 2 of 10 from three. They did not live and die by the three, and they still went into halftime up five. Like, this is a team that is adapting and evolving by game. It's not like they're doing the same thing game by game. Kind of like on our chat last show, they asked, you know, how is this any different than Alabama? Well, Alabama was kind of they are who they are. Their identity is what it is, and they're going to live by it or die by it, and they did end up dying by it. But this team continues to counter and throw different kind of counter punches back that you don't see on November 29th. You don't see from a group of eight freshmen, most of which in the core rotation right now, as we wait for the bigs to come back, as you know, whatever. you don't expect to see that this early, November 29th, for them to, you know, kind of take what the defense is giving them. Instead of just asserting themselves, they're also kind of adapting and shifting to that. I really like how Cal pointed that out and said, we had a really specific game plan. We wanted to take them away from the three-point line. We wanted to force them into long twos. And they were able to do that for the most part. I could live with Norchad Omier beating you with 20 points. I could live with that if it meant that the Nigel Pack doesn't go for 20. Yep. Nigel Pack goes for 2 points on 1 of 6 shooting. Very like quiet. They adapted so well to the game plan, and it resulted in an ass whooping. Like, they went on the national stage, all eyes on this team. You had even Jeff Goodman going on Twitter going, damn, this might be a Final Four team. Like, how hard is that for somebody like that to own up to the mistake that they made of picking against Kentucky going into this year? This team's earning a lot of respect. They're 12 in the rankings right now, 12 in both polls. I'm here to tell you that's going to change. It's going to change. UNC Wilmington's coming up on Saturday, and then I think we're inching closer toward the national respect matching what the product is on the floor. And right now, the product is really, really freaking impressive.
And getting super close to Camp Cal time too, where John Calipari teams get better because there's more time in the gym. There's no classes, and you got the game Saturday, and then you get a week off. Aaron Bradshaw getting closer to his return. He was out on the floor again during pregame tonight.
Looking awesome, by the way.
Looking explosive and jumping and dunking and doing things that we hadn't really got to see him do. Like that's in itself a lot of reasons to be – another reason to be excited about what this team's doing. But, man, just an incredible night. At one point, they had 3 turnovers late in the first half, and Miami had 7 points off those 3 turnovers. So they'd scored off every single turnover that Kentucky had. Kentucky finishes the night with 8 turnovers. Miami only adds 2 points off those additional 5 turnovers. Like, this is a team that just continues to refuse to turn the basketball over. Cal did mention that they got out-rebounded, but when you're shooting 60% from the floor, you're probably still going to win the ballgame. Like, especially when you hold the other team to 44%, 26 from 3, 48 points in the paint tonight for Kentucky. We've seen this team do it from the three-point line by hitting a high number of threes. Tonight we saw them get shots and get baskets at the rim. They also even still hit 9 threes. You still get 27 points from the three-point line in addition on the same night that you get 48 points from the paint. Like, I'd love to see the actual shot chart for tonight and what it looked like. I mean, this team, to me, Jack, they jump all the way into that top 7 in the new poll if they win on Saturday. Like, this was the win that everybody was really waiting for when you look at Kentucky. And this is where they've came up short, is in the non-conference and quad one opportunities. Yeah, we don't have the net rankings yet, but this will be a quad one win the moment the net rankings come out. And we'll see if it holds throughout the season. But regardless, Kentucky earned a lot of respect tonight. They earned it 2 weeks ago, but they validated it tonight with what they did.
It can't be understated what is about to happen with this group with Aaron Bradshaw. Like, I think even I was a little skeptical of, okay, he's been hyped up as this unicorn, this 7'2" unicorn who's going to, you know, step out and knock down shots, attack the basket, you know, really show off his offensive versatility and also be the shot blocker, rim protector, lob catcher, rim runner, yada, yada. Like, that was the talk with him. And the sample size just hasn't been significant to justify an expectation of him being an efficient three-point, like high-volume efficient three-point shooter. We got to see him for the first time with, and I've seen him an unbelievable amount of times in high school, AAU, you know, McDonald's All-American practices. He's done a lot of it in, you know, warm-ups and things like that, but I haven't seen a lot of it in game production, and that's kind of what's been talked about behind the scenes of, like, that's what we have seen of him, and that's they see the fit with that. I got to see it with my own 2 eyes with the workout, and he went through a full, I mean, high-intensity, sweating, like a really hardcore workout, and looked unbelievable. Like, he was making shots at a high clip. He was kind of showing off his athleticism and willing to throw his body around a little bit down low and dunk on somebody's head. Like, it kind of changes your view of all of this, knowing that, okay, we already look the way we are right now. Trey Mitchell has been phenomenal. And kind of just imagine what that's going to look like where I love Jordan Burks, but if you replace those minutes with an Aaron Bradshaw where he can step out and knock down a three, where he's at least going to give you a consistent mid-range, lob presence at minimum, that's what this team is missing. And it's like, if that's the one hole that you can poke in this team right now is interior, rim protection, rebounding, those sorts of things, and you can replace that without subtracting the offensive versatility, you're going to start seeing a lot of, we're seeing blowouts right now, but what is even that next step? I mean, they're going to start beating the heck out of teams, and I'm excited. And there's a lot of talk that Saturday might be the day. That's kind of the buzz. Cal kind of sort of hinted at it in post game, but didn't want to nail down a specific target date. But the buzz right now is Saturday. He's going to try to give it a go against UNC Wilmington. He looked like he could have given it a go tonight as well. How does that change things, Sean? Fans want to know about the will he, won't he, what if with him. I feel like now that he's here and we can talk about it in depth and after seeing him with our own two eyes, what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's whenever we do get it, if we get it on Saturday, it adds some intrigue to a game that probably doesn't have a lot to it, right? When they play UNC Wilmington. But I'm interested to see how they use him, where they play him, how many minutes they play him, what his role is. We know that that's something that will gradually grow over the course of the month of December and into January and February as you move throughout the season. But what Kentucky gets is you're talking about a guy that is arguably their most talented piece and one of their best NBA draft prospects.
That is so stupid to say.
and the thing that me and you've talked about on here is, yes, we know the defensive numbers need to improve, and they will. But I've been saying it's hard to really judge what they are defensively until they have some size. That is an area of their game that is missing. They have no size outside of Trey Mitchell and Adu Theroux, their next biggest body that's in there getting rebounds. But I want to see what they do offensively. You and I have talked about this on the last episode. You mentioned playing AB at the four and leaving Trey at the five. The one thing you don't want to do is really mess up what they're doing offensively. When you're scoring 90-plus every time you step on the floor, and this isn't just against anybody. I mean, this was against Miami tonight. This is against a Jim Winternega coached basketball team that just is off a Final Four appearance. They put up 95, and honestly, you probably could have got to 100, but they kind of held up there towards the end of the game. But it's all about balance. And the reason I don't have any concerns about working a new guy into this thing is because when you look at the box score, it's every single night it's consistent. You've got consistent scoring. Tonight, you had a guy with 21, 18, 14, 12, 11. And then you get down to 9, 5, and 5. You can't get any more balanced than that. And then look at this, the rebounding category. You got 5, 5, 5, 5, 6, 3. It's by committee. Everything with this team is by committee. And when you put by committee efforts with the talent Kentucky has, you get what you're seeing on the floor right now. How many teams can lose their lead guard in a tight game, and then when you come in with the bench, you just run away with it and end up blowing the team off the floor?
Not 10, not 15, 26.
And like right now, like Kentucky, well, I labeled him a lead guard, but I feel like Kentucky's got four lead guards.
29, by the way. Not 30 peaks, dude.
It's like Kentucky has four lead guards. Is it Reeves? Is it DJ? Is it Rob? Is it Reed? We haven't even mentioned Justin Edwards, who I think is getting better.
He had a really solid all around night. 5-7 shooting, 11 points, and did not fumble the ball around the basket.
It had a three wiped out because of a shot clock violation that he did knock down. So he's doing good things. Adu did good things in his minutes, but how many teams around college basketball can lose a DJ Wagner for half and then just rout a top 10 team like that? You're not going to get that much from anybody. And we're talking about DJ, who had back-to-back 20-point performances. And hopefully he's good and able to get back in here. But it just shows the depth that Kentucky has. And not just the depth, but the talent of depth that I keep talking about. It is the exact reason. This backcourt is the reason why we were so high on this team. Because look how many talented pieces they have. This backcourt is the best backcourt in college basketball. It's the deepest backcourt in college basketball.
Well, I thought they weren't top 20.
Oh, they're one, and they're 1A, like that, or 1B. It's literally right there. To me, you put Rob and Reed together, you got DJ and Antonio, it don't matter. Whatever combination you come up with this guard, with these guards, they're dominating the competition. And it's not even close. It's the best duo. It's not even a duo. Like, it's just
quartet.
Yeah. Like, whatever combination you
they put, work together and, like a quartet in unison and harmony and just producing the most beautiful music, but visual music.
And when you're talking about your five man was second in assist tonight, was seven. And he's having a career year in assist. Like, he's going to go well over whatever he's done in his career. I mean, this is a guy that is getting above four a game now.
He had three turnovers tonight, and then it doubled his season output in that.
And for a player that over the course of his career, like we've mentioned this the last couple of weeks, he has never averaged more assists than turnovers. But even though he had three tonight, he had seven assists.
Did I say assists or turnovers? I don't know. I'm losing my mind. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning.
People are on the stream.
I had a lot. This is awesome. I appreciate everybody. Devin Morrison, Jack, do you and Sean think Cal may be about to hit another stride resembling that of 10 to 15 again? Speaking of which, John Wall in attendance. Yep. Unbelievable pop from the Rupp Arena fan base. That was awesome to see. I like that he's been around this team and, you know, kind of putting his hands on them a little bit. We saw him in Chicago for the Champions Classic as well. Now here at Rupp Arena, making his return to Lexington, but it does kind of have that vibe, right, Sean? Like, just look at the recruiting effort and output, and going for guys and recruits that, like, people are kind of scoffing at, saying that you have no shot. The Boozer Twins, VJ Edgecombe, guys like that, that everybody's saying, oh, well, they're locks to Duke, they're locks to whomever. Cal's going, okay. Sounds good. Let's go do that. You know, Jaden Quaintance, he's going to go to the highest bidder. Kentucky can't compete with NIL, so there's no way Cal's going to get this two-year generational talent, this prodigy, as Cal put it. Then he goes signs him. Like, you are kind of getting that edge, and his press conferences are kind of reflecting the, like, there's just something different about it. You walk into this gym, you see the way the team is interacting and the way – the preparation, the mental and physical preparation, the way the coaches are interacting with one another and the random staffers, the peps in their steps. Like, it just does feel like there's something different with this group, and it is kind of bleeding over into the future classes. The recruiting is awesome for 24. It's even better for 25, as Cal has said several times now. It, like, that's a three-year run right there. If things continue to build momentum in 24. Cal said just last night that he's going to land one or two more guys in that 24 class, which is already number two in the country. If that ends up being VJ Edgecombe and Billy Richmond, or get a reclass from Darren Peterson, whomever, whatever the case is, the momentum is starting, not just where this is like a one last hurrah with Coach Cal. He's doing this while also thinking ahead and building baller recruiting classes for 24 and 25 and potentially beyond, because 26 class could be special as well. I could see it. I agree that 10 to 15 run is special. This kind of feels special too.
I feel like, just looking at what we see and all the things that you just mentioned, how together everyone is, the continuity that is within this program right now, it's not just what's on the floor. I feel like everyone is on the same page. I feel like we've got the fans back on side with Cal. I feel like Cal's back in tune with the fans. I feel like everything is operating the way it should be and the way it used to. And this is the most connected and together I feel like BBN has been with the basketball program in how long? 5-6 years? I mean, they've had moments where it's been good, but there's just a different vibe. Like, there were people waiting in line, like the student section tonight, to get out there 3 hours ahead of time before the doors open. Like, there's just a vibe and a feel in this town, in the city, around this program, in the state, that has not been here for a long time. And there will be people that outside of Kentucky that say, oh, we're overreacting. No, like, they did it 2 weeks ago against Kansas, and they came up short. They should have won that basketball game. You line up and play Kansas now, Kentucky wins that game, because Kentucky is 2 weeks older. They're 2 weeks more experienced. Reed Shepard, Rob Dillingham, all these dudes are just playing with a confidence that you keep waiting on one of these guys to take a step back because they've been so good, but they continue to just keep taking steps forward. That's the impressive thing about it.
And I liked hearing from Antonio Reeves after the game, hearing from Justin Edwards and Reed Shepard. They brought up the Kansas game and said that, yeah, it sucked. Nobody wants to lose on that stage, that environment, blah, blah, blah. Nobody wants to lose that. But it also gave us the blueprint of like, hey, you got a 14-point lead. Here's how you don't mess it up. Like, here's how you don't crumble down the stretch. They continue to talk about that and just the impact that losing in the way they did and kind of choking away that lead at the very end, how that has impacted them and said, okay, well, that gave us, you know, this piece of knowledge and this example. And you know, we're able to use those pieces of information and use it to our benefit to close out games like this. It would have been so easy, Sean, for Kentucky to crumble when DJ Wagner went down. He goes down with an ankle sprain. Cal says afterward he hasn't seen him. It did acknowledge it was an ankle issue. He was riding on the stationary bike afterward, kind of told the coaches around the bench that he was going to give it a go, was going to try to give it a go, but just too close, which makes me confident about, you know, the long term, what that looks like. I haven't heard anything to indicate, you know, usually if it's a season ender, if it's a something of substance, like, uh-oh, we got to really worry about this, that kind of trickles out relatively soon. It was pretty much the exact opposite of that, basically saying, you know, tweaked his ankle, rolled it, you know, he was trying to come back in the second half anyway, but when you're up by 29 points, you don't need to make that happen. So it would have been really easy in that moment to just get defeated and get down and go, ah, man, our leader's out, our alpha is out. Better luck next time. They were already down when it happened. What's another couple points, which could have led the, you know, dam to break open? Instead, they said, you know what, screw it. Let's go beat the hell out of them and make a statement. Justin Edwards said, we wanted to rally behind our brother. We wanted to win that game for DJ Wagner. That's awesome. That's a brotherhood. That's the unselfishness. That's how you get 26 assists on 37 made baskets with just 8 turnovers. That mindset is how you lead to the efficiency and unselfishness that we're seeing on a game-to-day basis.
Yeah, I mean, the togetherness that they're playing with, it's, if they continue to do that, like, this team hasn't peaked. Like, there's no way it's peaked. Look how young it is. Like, all these guys are individually going to continue getting better and better, and collectively they're going to get better and better. Now the challenge to me is you're going to have some national talk now about how good this team is that was missing a little. Yeah, they got some respect against Kansas, but now there's going to be people that are probably going to be like, yeah, Jeff Goodman tonight. I'm going to insert him into my Final Four. That's the first time we've been hearing that. So how does Cal keep that from creeping into the locker room and into meetings and things like that? That's the challenge now. You're getting some really positive press clippings from national folks. The local folks have been in on this team for a while. The national scene now, but listen to some of these numbers. So 22-point margin of victory. That's UK's largest over an AP top-ranked team opponent in Rupp Arena. The previous high was 21 points against number 6 Louisville in November 1983. Like, we keep talking about the first since this and going back to this, and then they've scored at least 81 points in all 7 games this season. That's the first time that has happened to open a season since 1970-71 when Kentucky did it in the first 9 games. I mean, of all the talent that's been in this program, we're going back decades now, 50 years, and seeing stats and things. Like, what they're doing offensively is what is driving the car for them. That's what's pushing the momentum forward. The defense will get figured out. But if you keep scoring the ball this way, you're putting more pressure on the other team having to walk in and stop you. Because right now I'm confident Kentucky's outscoring anybody they play.
Yeah, and I agree with this comment. I don't think these guys care about people believing in them or not, because they fully believe in themselves. And you got that quote from Cal after the game where he said, you know, somebody asked about, you know, do you think they feed off of the fun? Like, do you think they rally behind the, whoa, we're having a blast, let's keep this thing moving? And Cal was like, nah, because that's just who they are. That's who they're, that's their mindset. They all have we don't care about the outside noise. We don't care about what's going on behind this. We just want to play basketball, win games, and hang out with each other. We're friends. We're, you know, similar personalities. We're, you know, you get that vibe. You get that camaraderie. I agree with that. I don't think that, like, maybe it's forward thinking, but I don't think that's going to be something that hurts them this year. I don't think if they work their way up to number one in the polls that it's going to be something that they're going to have this major target on their back and, you know, crumble under the pressure. Like, we saw them against the best pressure imaginable in the Champions Classic, and they damn near pulled it off. Like, yeah, it sucked. The final minute sucked, but they have felt this pressure. They're Kentucky. Like, they, I just don't see an avenue for them to take that and fall.
Well, and even though Kentucky was up big tonight, even Cal said he treated the end, was it like they were up eight? Is that what
great quote?
Said?
Yes.
And that's the situation. So he took the score and just wiped it clean and was like, we're going to treat this like situational basketball. And the only reason Kentucky lost to Kansas 2 weeks ago is because it had not been in that situation yet. You and I recorded a rapid reaction that night, and we talked about Phoenix. And we talked about, I didn't see any way that this doesn't end in Phoenix. And I said that was the most positive and the best feeling I'd had about Kentucky basketball in 3 or 4 years. In a loss. And it was because the groundwork had been laid that night. And they've built on that. They had a very close game with St. Joseph's here a week or so ago. A little over a week ago. They pulled it out. This team just keeps getting better and better, though. Friday night, you see them together. Tonight, you see them playing together. They all have a smile on their face. Reed Shepherd, no moment is too big for Reed Shepherd. No moment is too big for Rob Dillingham. When you got guys that aren't afraid of the moment, they welcomed a top 10 team in the Rupp Arena tonight. And they had the confidence that there are 400 people watching this at 1:06 in the morning.
Because that's what this team is. It's exciting. People want to talk about it. There's a reason why we wanted to do this show tonight. It's because we weren't waiting until 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Sorry. Like, that's just this team. You got to talk about it. You got to soak this in and feel it. Because I said this on our message board tonight, which, by the way, if you're not subscribed to KSR Plus by now, there's no reason not to. We're having a blast talking about the games. Insider information, scoop, buzz. You get to talk with us all the time. It's a blast. Like, just stop what you're doing and go subscribe. We'll finish this video and then go subscribe over there. Subscribe to this and then subscribe to KSR Plus. But I lost my train of thought. What was it? What were we talking about?
We were talking about how good this team is.
About how I haven't felt like this. There were moments in this game where Reed Shepherd was hit a dagger three, and I felt something inside of me that I don't remember the last time I have felt watching Kentucky basketball. Like, Rob Dillingham finishing the way he does with his whoop-de-doo and the dagger three that he hits, and then looking at his hand, and it's like that Kentucky basketball is back vibe that I don't remember the last time I felt this. I think it was 2016-17, I think. But the brand is fun. It's an enjoyable product, and it's only going to get better as the team gets more cohesive and you get Aaron Bradshaw on the lineup and you figure out what the heck to do with Z and Ugana Onyenso and all that. We're just seeing the start of this, and the product is already so unbelievably fun that you can see the vision of success. You can see the vision of, okay, this does have the makings of one of those special teams. And it just, the feeling that I have watching them is completely different than anything I can remember in a really, really long time. And it's just good to be a part of this. Like, we've seen some really crappy basketball doing this show. We being in Rupp, where it's a 9 o'clock game on Tuesday night, and I'm like, damn, I don't even want to drive to Lexington for this. Like, it's sloppy. It's boring. It's mucky. I hated that feeling because this is my baby. Kentucky basketball. I'm wearing a retro UK basketball jacket because this is, I'm a Kentucky fan. I'm a diehard Kentucky fan. I want to enjoy watching this product. And right now the product is so unbelievably fun to watch. And the numbers are reflecting that. The efficiency numbers are reflecting that. You can see how much they are enjoying it as well. It's just a blast, man. This is a really, really fun time to be a Kentucky basketball fan.
Well, and I tweeted out this morning, well, actually yesterday morning now, that Kentucky had four players in the top six in the SEC in assist. Rob Dillingham was leading the way. That number is probably going to stay the same. Now, it will fall because DJ did play tonight, and I don't think he recorded an assist before he got hurt. Am I right on that? One assist. He had one assist before he went out. So that number will fluctuate a little, but here is what I'm talking about defensively. So I tweeted an hour ago that Kentucky was 55th in adjusted defense efficiency. They're 59th now. That's just how it fluctuates so early in the season. when we get into January, I want to see what that number looks like, because what is the point differential per 100 possessions that are separating some of these teams? Offensively, they're now up to third, and they're 13th in KenPom. Like, the numbers are trending in the right direction. Like, that defense efficiency number was a lot lower than that on Tuesday morning. So it is trending upward. Overall, I think they had a pretty good defense performance. I think that they executed the game plan on what they wanted Miami to do. When you hold a team that is shooting the clip that they were from three-point line to that total, you did something right. And Kentucky affected the game and on the defensive end. You got Reed Sheppard leading the league in steals, and I think he's near the top for sure in that category. But just overall, what Kentucky's doing right now, it's a collective push to be what they are. This is a top five team in college basketball. And I think everyone noticed it and realized it tonight. It took tonight to finally get people on board with what they can be. This team's going to get better and better. And its next big test is in 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks, when they play North Carolina in Atlanta. They've got a couple of games in between, but the next big one is North Carolina. And that's another opportunity to get a big victory. But Kentucky got a big one. They've been letting these slip through their hands, especially in the early parts of the seasons the last few years.
I would love for them to continue. You know, you don't have to beat UNC Wilmington by 100, but go make that next, you know, don't turn that into a trap game because you're looking ahead to UNC and looking behind to Miami. Go make a statement there. Get Bradshaw on the floor. Play him 5 minutes. Play him 10 minutes. Just see what you got there. Don't overdo it. Don't rush DJ back. You know, we don't know an official update yet on DJ, but you don't have to, you know, you don't have to force feed that. You don't have to force feed Aaron. You don't have to force feed Ugo or Z or anyone. Just continue to play this brand of basketball. Play unselfish basketball. Play for one another. Look for that. You don't have to shoot 90% from the field. Just play your game and win that game the way you should. And then look ahead to UNC. Then let's go down and make that next statement. That's a really awesome opportunity for Kentucky to, you know, kind of get that monkey off their back. Like, you got the one at Rupp, but they also have kind of been struggling in these neutral site, high profile matchups against top 10, top 15, whatever talent. Go make a statement down in Atlanta as well. That's going to be a blast. We're going to be down there. I'm going to go to OTE. We're going to see Carter Knox and Sompto Ciro play the night before. It's going to be a great weekend in Atlanta. I know fans are very excited about that. I think there's a deal OTE is doing for $2 tickets that night before if you want to go see some future cast, potentially at least one we know of for certain with Sompto. But then the next day, you get to go watch Kentucky take on the, you know, top 15 UNC Tar Heels that are looking solid, and that's going to be a great matchup, a great opportunity to make yet another statement in a season where I think we're going to be getting a lot of statements, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. And the calendar now turns to December. So for what they accomplished in November, they're ahead. They're ahead of schedule. They're further along than what I thought they'd be, even though we targeted this game, right? Because you and I talked that I just didn't expect Kentucky to beat Kansas. But the way that they played, I took a win out of that night, even though it didn't show up in the win column. But tonight was the next checkpoint, and Kentucky passed. And they passed with an A+. Get another checkpoint here in a couple of weeks against North Carolina. You want to win the in-between, but I'm breaking this season into what do they look like against Kansas, Miami, Carolina, and then early league play, and then that Gonzaga game here at Rupp Arena. That'll be another electric environment. But there's teams in college basketball that had better wins than what Kentucky got tonight, but the style of play and what Kentucky had to prove, it proved itself again against a top 10 team. I want to see how Miami does in the ACC. There were some SEC teams lost tonight. Alabama goes and loses to Clemson. Mississippi State loses to Georgia Tech. Like, some of the teams that are in the top 25, Kentucky took care of business. We've already seen Arkansas drop games early in the season. I think they got Duke tomorrow night. I don't think that one was tonight. And then Tennessee, Carolina as well. So Kentucky gets a big win in the ACC-SEC Challenge, the first game of this event. And definitely a lot to like about what this team's doing.
Before we close out, got a text from somebody that was literally right behind the bench during the whole DJ debacle. When he got hurt and the aftermath of that and conversations on the bench. training staff guy came over and went up to DJ's mom, broke down what had happened to him, what they were doing, etc. Couldn't hear it all, but he said about 3 to 4 times, he's fine, he's fine. And then after the game, a few blue coats and other people around the player's family section came up and asked if he was okay. She said again, it's fine, he's fine, he's fine. So ankle tweak, rolled it, you know, high ankle sprain, whatever you want to call the diagnosis. It's not going to be something that's going to be long term. But if Reed's playing the way that he is and Rob's playing the way he is and Antonio's playing the way he is, you don't need to rush him back for UNC Wilmington. You don't need him to rush him back for – I'd like for him to have the opportunity to play that homecoming matchup up in Philly. I think that'd be great for him, Justin and AB, to, you know, get that chance to play for their friends and family. I would love that for him. It sucks that he's even going to have to deal with that question. But don't rush him back. And when he does come back, ease him back in, because this product right now – You don't need DJ Wagner. You need him, but you don't need him to win games right now. And that's a great thing. You're going to need him in SEC play. Get him healthy. Make sure this team's ready to go, because we are certainly ready to go. This team is a blast. We're having a fun doing it. There's a reason why we're up at 1:15 in the morning at Rupp Arena doing the show, because this team's worth it. It's worth it. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy every single individual player. Don't take any game for granted, because Reed Sheppard might be a one and done. Rob Dillingham is definitely a one and done. Go down the list. All of these guys, it might be one of the last chances you get to see them in a Kentucky uniform. I don't want to, like, ruin the buzz of the fun of that, but, like, also understand the magnitude of how enjoyable it is to be able to witness them in Rupp Arena in a game like this in front of the fans. Just enjoy it and soak this in.
The one thing I'll say as we wrap up here that is the most impressive about what this team is doing is I don't see anyone pressing to go get theirs. These are guys that are playing within the system. And in Kentucky's system, it is random, but it's got structure to it. It's organized chaos, I guess, is how you could kind of put it with what they do. Like, there's a method to the madness and what they're doing offensively. But you don't see guys forcing anything. Like, maybe a guy will take a shot that's like, maybe I shouldn't have taken that one. But for the most part, I think everything is within what they're wanting to do. And you look at Rob, I don't feel like Rob's forcing anything. I don't think Antonio Reeves is forcing anything. Honestly, like, there's things. Like, when we talk about ceiling and how good this team can be, it's all because of the freshmen, because they're so young and the ceiling is so high. But Antonio Reeves was a guy that entering the year I didn't think could get any better, because he is who he is. But you know where he's getting better? He's not forcing a thing. 1 of 3 from 3 tonight. The efficient 18. Like, he is becoming an efficient scorer that's getting his numbers for Kentucky, and he's not having to go and just and do it. Like, he's just taking shots as they come within the offense. Trey Mitchell early tonight, I thought, was trying to be too unselfish. There were a couple of times that he had the ball and he's looking to make a one more, and it kind of threw off his rhythm, and he shot a couple of threes long. He needs, anytime he has a look at the rim, he's got to shoot it. Same thing with Antonio Reeves. Same thing with Rob Dillingham. Reed Sheppard. Cal mentioned tonight that he wasn't a knockdown shooter. You and I saw him shoot it pretty well in high school, but he shot one from the logo tonight. off of some get action. And that's the thing. If you go under, he's going to burn you. If you go over, he's going to be able to see the floor and make a play. Like, he can get to the rim. This is a very difficult team to stop. And SEC coaches are going to be up late at night leading up to playing Kentucky, because there are just so many weapons that, sure, if you try to game plan and scheme for Antonio Reeves and DJ Wagner, you got to worry about Rob Dillingham and Reed Sheppard coming off the bench. You also got to worry about Kentucky's five-man going for 5, 6, 7 assists, and maybe on a given night, Trey Mitchell's capable of hitting 5 or 6 threes. Like, pretty hard to guard.
Ha. This was fun. I appreciate everybody that came on. This was a blast. Thank you for joining us virtually at Rupp Arena. This is awesome. If you were here at the game, shout out, man. Rupp Arena was awesome. The fan base was awesome. Team was awesome. They're going to continue to be awesome. And the show's going to continue to be awesome, because tomorrow we will be back with none other than Kentucky's best signee for next year. Go figure. Like, why not have Jaden Quaintance on the show tomorrow to talk about why he's a Kentucky Wildcat, preview this upcoming event this weekend in Louisville. Make sure you go to a Derek Smith Invitational in Louisville. It's going to be a blast. You get basically every high-profile basketball recruit in the nation coming to Louisville. So you get AJ DeBanza, Tyron Stokes, Jasper Johnson, Trey Johnson, even though he's a Texas pledge, you get to see him with your own two eyes. And Jaden Quaintz, he's the headliner, especially for Kentucky folks. So we're going to interview Jaden about that experience, about what it means to be a Kentucky player, and you know, talk about being here for 2 years, how important that is to kind of just build a legacy here in Lexington. He's excited to talk about it. And I know fans are excited for that. So make sure you jump on in here and ask. I know there's some fans asking, why aren't you guys answering fan questions? We're going to answer plenty of them tomorrow. And we're going to have one of the most dominant high school players in basketball answer some of them for you as well. So be back tomorrow at some point. We haven't set up a time specifically yet, but we'll keep you guys updated. Keep your Twitter notifications on. We'll send out the bat signal, and you guys will know what to do.
Yeah, and we said we were keeping this to 30 minutes, and we're at 50. We always do it.
And it never fails.
It never fails.
Oh, never fails. All right, let's get out of here. We appreciate you guys, and we'll be back next time for the Jam Packed Sources Say podcast. We will see you then.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.